folks who host this show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench, cause Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question, a joke, a comment, or something more. At 419-PT-LOVE-4.
Tuesday, September 28th, Stephanie and I were guests on the Thinking Liberty podcast, and though the show is much longer, we're going to air as our episode our excerpt on that show. Should be about 30 or 40 minutes. Please check out the Thinking Liberty podcast at thinkingliberty.net. It's a great show, and I think you'll enjoy it if you enjoy our show. So here is our time on their show. Enjoy.
And we are back on Thinking Liberty, live, loud, libertarian, anarcho-podcast.
Anarcho-podcast. I like that terminology.
We're going to use that one now.
All right. So we have Stephanie and Mike from the Pork Therapy podcast on the line. Thanks a lot for being on the show. How you two doing?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm doing great, and thanks for having us on.
Yes. Don't choke on that hot dog there.
I will try not to. I was eating a hot dog during the break, and
hopefully it never comes back.
Yeah, exactly. I never want to see that hot dog again. Right. I only get the finest gas station hot dogs my way to this show.
So. Oh, see, we got to get a sandwich next time. Not a hot dog.
A sandwich would cost more than $2.
Why is it called a gas station hot dog? Does it
give you gas?
Gas?
Ba-dum-bum. No.
Dude, well, I'm just full of the crappy puns today.
I know.
Crappy puns.
You need to have a rim shot button for you next time. Just press the button.
Oh, see, so we've got two people on who are good at crappy puns too, so now we're set.
There you go.
And good puns too sometimes.
Okay. wait hold on, what was that oxymoron you just said?
A good pun.
A good pun.
No, we gotta nice get big puns. Pun on the show, so.
Nice puns.
I was trying to cheer a hot up my dog friend pun. by telling him 10 puns. I was trying to cheer him up, but no pun intended.
I didn't even get that one.
Wow that's terrible.
That took me a minute to even get it. Yeah. How bad it was.
Okay, all right.
I think like 7 people just left our chat room.
Nobody wants to.
3 of those 7 people just broke their laptop computers.
Okay. All right. Thinking Liberty getting the audience response.
All the names are turning red all of a sudden. All right, we're going to begin this thing. So I'm going to ask first the question, what is pork therapy anyway? What is this thing?
Well, Pork Therapy is a podcast that we started about maybe about a year ago, right, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about relationships from a liberty-oriented perspective. And it's basically about how to get along with your friends, neighbors, lovers, bosses, everyone you could possibly imagine in a voluntary society. We basically try to encourage people to solve their own problems using good communication skills and techniques of persuasion, maybe, as opposed to some of the advice shows which encourage people to, like, call the cops on their neighbors whenever there's a small interpersonal conflict.
Wow.
That actually happens. I mean, it sounds really hyperbolic, but it really happens.
maybe I don't listen to those other shows too often. That's why it comes as a surprise.
The Rat Out Your Friends and Neighbors show?
Yeah, I mean,
isn't that called the DARE program?
You took my line there. It's like, God, this is DARE. It's like DARE actually went and founded a show for helping people, so-called help.
Before we get too far in, just real quick, where can people find your podcast? I'm sure we'll repeat it at the end, but
repeat it right now.
Our website is porktherapy.com, and that's PORC. And from there, you can find everything else we have, like iTunes and Facebook and Twitter.
Right, and you can ask us questions. You can send us your own relationship.
You can call us straight from the website.
I forgot to mention before that our show is based off of taking listener questions, and so we get all kinds of really interesting questions submitted to us, and then we do our best to make an entertaining and useful show out of them.
Okay. How long is your show?
Well, it doesn't have a set length.
Okay.
So there's not much that's normal about
when
it.
When I went to one of the sites, I was like, no, they got all these things in differing sizes here. It's like, I'm wondering which one should I download here. So,
Yeah, it might be annoying. We haven't had enough feedback on that yet. But basically, each show is its own length, and we release them kind of whenever we make them, not on a set schedule. There's nothing normal about it.
Oh, that's...
Indeed. That's nothing normal about us either.
It's a really good show, though. I can attest to that fact. I really like the emphasis on interpersonal relationships, which I think in a voluntary society, that's what it's going to be all about, because you're not absolved of responsibility when it comes to dealing with other people in a voluntary society. So you need to know how to deal with people and how to talk and how to have relationships of any kind. So mm-hmm. I like that aspect.
Unless you're going
to
be a hermit.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're going to be an anarcho-isolationist, which I certainly look like one, but I kind of like other people, though.
You could fool me.
You could fool you hate other people.
I know you. Yeah. All right, but it seems to be a particularly important thing there in New Hampshire, where I've seen all types of strange, all types of strange, I'm going to say strange people, even though they are there, but strange arguments that seem to pop up between people. And I see this explode all over Facebook. I see people doing this on chat rooms, people doing this on forums and things, people having trouble with one another. And if you can find any way to help them deal with one another, I think that that's an excellent addition to whatever it is that people are doing up there.
Wait, people argue on Facebook?
People argue all the time. In particular, I got a whole section here of New Hampshire folks here, and it seems like some of them have blocked other people. And I don't even know if they see each other's comments when I put things up now. And yeah,
that's kind of tough. I don't know. When I see people in that situation, I want to be like, come on, there's really not that many of us. Like, you know,
can't we all just get along?
Yeah, can't we all at least talk? Like, once you end the communication, there's no shot at even reaching resolution ever.
You got ostracized forever.
Well, thing is with that, I mean, you guys hit on a really important point, which is that, yeah, I mean, from time to time, there is drama that pops up and there are interpersonal conflicts. And that is like one of the reasons that we wanted to do this show, was to sort of help people work those things out and learn techniques that would maybe avoid those things in the future. We certainly don't claim to have all the answers, but we have opinions, as you might be able to tell.
I hate sounding so arrogant because
Mike says he doesn't give advice. He gives
on
opinions.
Each show, we kind of say, well, I think this would solve it, and this is a good idea for communication, and this might help. But they are just ideas, and you could try them or not and take them with a grain of salt. And
absolutely.
The goal is to think of different ways to communicate that would help if you're having problems.
Yeah, kind of a brainstorming thing.
Yeah.
Well, if you're ever worried that you come off as arrogant, I'd suggest this. You know, sit down, listen to 10, 15 minutes of Pork Therapy where you give somebody your ideas, and then sit down and listen to 10, 15 minutes of Dr. Phil, and you'll see yourself in an all new light. You'll be like, wow, at least I'm not that jerk. I mean, it doesn't come off as arrogant. It comes off as, okay, this is what I think. This is what we think. These are some ideas. Use what you can.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We, by the way, like, we didn't get a chance to say this yet, but we also love Thinking Liberty. Like, it was one of those mutual friends in not someone in New Hampshire, but someone in the Liberty movement who made a post on Facebook and said something like, oh, I love to listen to Pork Therapy and Thinking Liberty while I'm out on my walks. And then we both kind of jumped in and commented on it, and that led to the genesis of this show. So that was cool.
It was serendipity, it seems. So.
Indeed.
Oh, I didn't know serendipity. But
that was so
you and Darian ought to get together and do something else.
Should make a book that people can throw out windows. The Puncast. Oh, even the name's a pun.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the show can only go better from there.
You know what Mike sells at Grafton Gulch? Burgers and puns.
Oh. It was a horrible song. Does he call one of the burgers the Big Mike?
Indeed.
No, not until now.
All right, now we got the Big Mike.
You know what my favorite part of Grafton Gulch when I ate there was the pricing. The pricing was awesome. It's like, you can have a hot dog for $1. You can have a burrito for $1. You can have a soda for $1. Like, oh, wow, you can have a candy bar for $1. I was like, wow, this makes a lot of sense. It's very even, you know, all integer math. I like this.
How much was the tax?
It's exceptionally effective in the marketing world to price things at $0.99, because then it sounds like
it's
a dollar less than it is.
Yeah.
But I hate that, so I don't think I'll ever do that, and I will always price my things at even round numbers.
It's almost like there's so much to 99-cent things. It's like refreshing when you see something that's just like $1, like $5, like 0-0. Like, nice. That's an even number. I like that.
Yeah, I agree. I really like having that nice, even thing. I look forward to having that in a place that has no taxes. So
that would be pretty sweet.
Portsmouth, you say?
I said pretty sweet. Oh, maybe okay. Portsmouth, too. You might be able to hook that up there.
All right.
You could probably hook that up in Grafton, too.
Well, I have to go to Grafton at least once. So.
Oh, you got
to
tell me when you're going, because I'll come up with it.
One of these days.
I'm actually planning on going to Grafton this winter, which many people have told me is a terrible idea.
Why are you going?
Because I like cross-country skiing. And
that's a good reason. That's awesome. You should get in touch with us, and we'll hook up.
See, I was thinking Grafton was more like, you know, not that steep, but
no, it's pretty hilly, and like Grafton Gulch has the you got the snowmobile trail right in the back there, and you know there's all kinds of if you like winter type stuff, which I tend to. You're shaking your head now.
Yeah. See, well, they can't see that on the radio that I'm shaking my head at any winter type.
Tennyson, where do your people hail from originally?
Around the equator.
Okay, my people hail from Manitoba, Canada. So you know we've got this cultural disconnect. I like the skiing and the snowshoeing and that stuff. So
yeah,
it sounds like a good time to me.
I like the beach and really warm,
pleasant weather. What? Yes. You like doing things when it's warm out?
Yeah.
That's crazy talk.
I know, right?
I actually got to learn to cross country ski. I'm really bad at downhill skiing though, so I don't really know. I went once and I didn't really know how to do it, so it didn't work out too well. But maybe this winter, we'll see.
Yeah, you can come up with me. Yeah.
All right. So back to Pork Therapy. Now you're mentioning that sometimes you mediate. I wouldn't call them disputes, but you know, kind of drama. And is that something that's a problem with libertarians or people in liberty movements or whatever? Or is that just something that's going to happen in every community and there's a certain type of it and there's a lot of people together?
I think the Free State Project is basically kind of a big tent, right? I mean, there are a lot of different kinds of people who move here. There are a lot of people. I mean, there's probably about 1,000 people here in New Hampshire right now. And so it's basically inevitable that some of them are going to have conflicts and stuff like that. And the stuff that comes up is just life stuff, you know? So, I'm sorry, the original question was, well, what, is this just something that happens or is there a problem with libertarians?
I would say
basically. Is there something special about libertarians that makes them more prone to conflict, as some of our, you know, opponents might say, or do you think it's
No, there isn't. Shut up.
Well, no, I don't think that there's something particular about libertarians that makes them more prone to conflict. If anything, I think that maybe they're less prone to conflict because they do already have some of those concepts in, like ostracism and reputation, you know, the importance of having a good reputation. And
I'm not sure I agree with this about the less prone to conflict. I mean, they do have a lot of the ideas of liberty, but they've also, for the most part, I'd say, they're used to their whole lives being the black sheep, being not fitting in, not belonging to social norms. I would say, they believe in something that most people don't and are trying to not proselytize it, but spread it and educate about it. And so that's just like the birthplace of conflict.
See, I don't know, Mike, because I was going to say I don't have any status friends, so I have no idea.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, see, we got a conflict brewing here already. Yeah, so.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, usually most of the stuff that we talk about on our show ends up being conflicts between people in our community instead of conflicts between, like, libertarians and status, for instance.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't even know how to answer that.
Yeah, I don't either. If you're referring to drama and gossip in general, I think it happens amongst all people in all groups. I couldn't tell you for sure if it happened more in this liberty movement or not, because I really haven't belonged to that many large groups.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely happens.
Mm-hmm.
See, if we were all state communists, we could just write a sweeping denunciation of everyone who disagreed with us, form our own splinter group, and then make money selling Trotsky books.
We're going to be the new Trots now. You guys can be Trot 1. We're going to be new Trots. So. Yeah, but I think then libertarians are just going to end up disagreeing with each other like, you're just axiomatically wrong, and we have no way of resolving this, so that means you simply have to move out of my house now. That's going to be the way it has to be.
That's a fantastic axiom right there. Yeah. Like, you know, the ideas I build my life upon. Boom, one. Tennyson is wrong. Like, I
mean, see, that is exactly how it goes. First thing, you have to agree with these things how I interpret them. And if you disagree with how I interpret them at any given time, then I'm afraid you're just your statist and you're evil and you're anti-mind, therefore anti-life, therefore.
Don't rattle me the anti-life, anti-mind.
Now that slider in the picture that's going to go on our website
again
is
with the slider.
I mean, it's important to be able to work with people you disagree with, because, you know, I disagree with everybody in this room. Yeah. I'll probably disagree with something I'm saying, you know, right now, you know, a week from now. So, you know, you gotta just go with stuff that's close enough and try to build towards the perfect from there.
Just throw up things and see what sticks.
Well, right, you know, the other thing is, they're, you know, libertarians are, I think, in general, pretty principled. And so, you know, they try to live their lives based on certain values and beliefs. And, you know, they're very steadfast in those. Like, they're less likely to just roll over on something that they consider important just for the sake of avoiding conflict or salvaging a friendship or other relationship.
Yeah.
And so I think maybe that contributes to some of the conflicts, I guess.
Yeah, it makes it a little bit more explosive sometimes. Mm-hmm. And it's I don't know whether I should regret that or whether I should consider this the new normal or something if I'm going to be in New Hampshire, but I find it kind of off-putting, the fact that people will so very willingly cut themselves off from other people. But I don't know, maybe it's just me.
I don't know if that happens. I mean, to be honest,
it's my personal experience there.
I would say it happens. I don't know if it's the norm, but
I think it. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Mike.
But it, you know, if that's off-putting, let's say you moved here and you found a lot of people were doing that and you found it off-putting, there are ways to deal with that. You could talk to them and explain, you know, help them understand that there's a better way to communicate, or by cutting them off, they're hurting themselves instead of the other person, or in addition to the other person.
You could have a close group of friends that you mostly just hang out with and, you know, try to kind of just stick to yourselves.
I know people who have, you know, cut themselves off from another person or another group of people because they thought some base principle, some foundational principle was different and didn't want to deal with them. Mm-hmm. And I've done it.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes a good thing and sometimes not. So I guess it's contextual.
I think something you got to keep in mind too, Tennyson, is a lot of your interactions with people who aren't geographically in the same place as you occur over the computer.
Right.
And there's a big difference between communicating with someone in person, communicating over the computer.
Yeah.
I was reading somebody's Facebook note the other day, and they had a list of things that they believed were true, and so self-apparent that if you disagreed with them, they say that they lost all respect for you except the respect that they accord all living things. Wow. Right?
That's how I start all my conversations in real life. Now, I'll get on the subway train, and I'll just start screaming, "This is true. A is A. All y'all people suck."
But I was thinking, I could probably have
the
subway train. I could probably have a perfectly fine conversation with this person around a campfire roasting marshmallows. Because when you're looking at people and when they're looking at you, and you realize that, you know, you're talking, you may not agree, but you're talking, the game changes a lot, as opposed to Facebook or, you know, over chat or
you remember that red versus blue thing where they had the life versus the internet, like real life, this is how people are talking on the internet. They have like, no, you die, you die, I'll kill you. It's like you die and burn in hell.
So how can we get over this, I guess, communication problem that, I don't know if it's a result of technology or just us not applying technology right or not being ready for it, but, you know, the internet facilitates communication in some ways, but it sounds like in some cases it's turning off communication.
Anonymity does it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you definitely hit on something that's totally true. People are definitely more likely to run their mouths on the internet.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the only person's behavior that you can really control is your own. And so it helps to just think about what you're saying. And if you type something in on a forum or on Facebook, like, would you actually say that to that person's face? And, you know, some people who use their real names on Facebook, maybe that mitigates it a little bit. I don't know. Do you think so, Mike?
I kind of do. if you act seriously and realistically on a Facebook forum, I mean on an internet forum or Facebook or whatever, it's going to slightly help the communication. But not only does I think everybody have like an online persona, because there's no responsibility. If you say something really insulting, even if you're not intending, no one's going to punch you in the nose. They're not there.
Exactly.
But also, a whole lot of communication is lost when you're just typing. There's no facial expression. There's no gestures. There's no intonation. There's no
anything
visual.
Emotion.
Yeah, an emotion. There's no sarcasm and humor, and it is lost.
So that can contribute to conflicts too, for sure.
Right.
Here in studio, our producer Bile just showed exactly the picture that I was thinking of when I was thinking internet anonymity from what's it called? Penny Arcade. Yeah, if anybody else out there knows the reference, the Penny Arcade reference, you can probably put a link to it in the chat room, and we'll see if you actually get the right thing here. But it's the greater internet rule of something or other. Yeah. But somebody in the chat room also asked, can the host have a therapy session right now? And gosh, I need therapy. So
we will therapize you if you therapize us.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see.
Therapize. New verb. All right.
Somebody else go first so I can mock them.
How do you feel about that?
Yeah. All right.
So anyway, my name's Darian, and I'm goofy and tell a lot of puns. How can we fix that?
Yeah, Darian.
Jeez, Darian.
Don't be such a punter.
Oh, goodness. Oh, wow.
I'm going to hit you with this mic eventually. I'm going to violate the non-aggression principle.
Fortunately, it has this big pad thing around it to prevent me from popping my peas.
It's like a Nerf thing. That's what it is.
It's a Nerf mic. Yeah. How are things in Grafton? We kind of touched on this, at least Mike was involved in something with the authorities, if I've heard right. What's going on?
The authorities, yeah.
Yeah, I'm building something I'm calling Grafton Gulch, and it's going to be a mix of a consignment store and a gallery. So
GraftonGulch.com, right?
Yeah, GraftonGulch.com if you want to learn about it. It's not ready yet, but we're still building. And during construction, I'm hiring a bunch of my friends and paying them off the books and no government involved, no permits, no licenses. And for the past few months, I've been selling them hot dogs and hamburgers and sodas and whatnot at lunchtime or whenever they want. And the menu has grown as they've told me what they want, more of what they want to eat. Now I even have two vendors, Vanzetti's breakfast tacos and Liberty Bell ice cream made in Concord. So about 2 weeks ago, I put some signs out because I started selling to the public. So I put signs out, hey, we have hamburgers, and yes, we're open, and that kind of thing. So a day or two ago?
Last week, yeah, Friday or something.
Friday or something like that. A woman came by before I was on the site that morning, and Vanzetti came out of the camper. We use a camper for a kitchen. And said, hey, can I help you or something like that? And she said she was from the state health department and tried to hand him a piece of paper, which he declined.
She was from the Food Protection Agency, right? Yeah. She was protecting the food.
Yeah. And she basically stated that we needed a license to sell food.
A license?
Yes.
And she littered a piece of something on your
She plate. Tried to hand a piece of paper to Vanzetti and the other construction workers who were there, and everyone said, I'm not going to take that. So she just left it on the counter or something. So she littered on my property.
Oh, wow. Well, I guess property rights don't mean as much to her, and that's why she's demanding that you get a license. So
yeah.
She's perfectly consistent there.
What the heck is she doing up there in Grafton, though? Because it's not like the Food Protection Agency who makes sure that Barsky doesn't do terrible things to hot dogs. It's not like they're in squad cars roaming around the state. So somebody had to tell her something.
Yeah, I heard afterwards because a friend of ours in the Liberty Movement is the health officer for the town of Grafton where we're talking about. So we heard later that someone indeed called and narked, I guess, to the state agency. So I don't know who it was or what they told him because no one asked me or researched if we had a license, which we don't. So then this woman comes by and she kind of like stopped her car a couple blocks away and was there for a while. So we're guessing she was writing up this little warning there. So I don't quite know where she lives or why they sent her or where from, but I think it's just indicative of what's about to come around the corner. More thugs.
That stinks.
Yeah, we don't want to see that happen, but I mean, if Mike goes to jail for selling hamburgers,
that would be pretty damn funny.
It wouldn't be funny because we don't want to see you in a cage, but, yeah, but I mean, that would just be so ridiculous, and it would just really expose what they're doing there.
Yeah.
You know, especially as we were discussing before, you know, especially Mike, if you have some videos showing that your kitchen is clean and everything is safe, and you know, you don't need to, you don't need the government's permission, but you are keeping safety and cleanliness in mind, and it would just expose their tyranny, right? To throw you in a cage for selling hot dogs? Really?
Yeah,
come on.
You'd certainly hope it would expose the tyranny of the whole thing. But then again, people seem to not get that interpretation too often. They just come out and say, well, you know, we support our officers and our state government. And no, they said these are the rules, and therefore they're violating the rules, so they're in the wrong. And they don't get the idea that, well, maybe the government can be in the wrong, or maybe the police aren't doing something right. And it's the risk that you run when you're doing it. But doing something simple as in, you know, selling food that everybody can already make themselves and giving it or selling it, maybe that'll actually tilt some people away. Like the illegal nail filing or nail service that was done. Yeah.
Or the lemonade stand.
Or the lemonade stand.
Or the bacon-wrapped hot dogs.
Something like that.
See, here's the thing, though, that really kills me about this. The woman who dropped the slip off, she's probably never even had one of your hot dogs, Mike.
No.
So she's
They're unsafe. They're unlicensed.
I was gonna say she hasn't been slighted by a hot dog. So
well, she wouldn't be able to buy one anyway because there's a sign out front of Grafton Gulch that says we do not, you know, sell to government employees.
Yeah. But you're right. She hasn't. And you know what else? Statistics show that most food related incidents, you know, of safety, occur in government licensed restaurants. That might just be because most restaurants are government licensed.
Yeah,
but
it's clear that the licenses aren't really preventing things.
Yeah, so what's the point?
It turns out it's that the proper cooking actually helps rather than a piece of plastic. So
right. Who would have thought?
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Jinx.
If you want to see some of the coverage of this, you can go to freegrafton.com, which is a blog that I help maintain, and Mike has blogged there too as well. You can see more details about it there.
Yeah, there's a video of not the incident, but some interviews after.
All right.
Right.
Should I actually say the thing that I'm thinking about then?
I think you should.
Yeah. You can't say that and then not say it.
I can because I want to leave everybody else in suspense, and so maybe we'll go to break and then we'll just completely ignore it then. All right. So moving on from what I just didn't say.
Oh come on! Seriously?
Right. No. I'll say it. Let's see. A week ago from tomorrow, a friend of mine took her own life. So,
sorry.
Six days ago. Yeah. Everybody in this room, except for maybe Darian and Lori, has met her. In fact, the two of you met her at my birthday, and I think that you may have met her at different times, actually, because I'm talking to Masood right now, because of course you can't see that I'm talking to Masood. I'm pointing to Masood. It was Rain. Her name was Rain Chacon. She was 38 years old, and she, I'm not going to say how she ended her life, but she did. And it came as a complete shock to pretty much everybody who saw it or who heard about it. And just nobody expected. When you saw her at the birthday party, did she seem like,
she seemed fine.
She seemed perfectly, garrulous. She was regular life of the party, center of attention, entertaining as she always was. Funny as anything. I wanted to have her on the show, and now she's gone. I can't stop seeing her face, actually. So
I'm sorry.
I was asleep last night, and I woke up, must have been like 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm seeing a corpse in my brain all the time now, seeing it. And I can't stop thinking about it or seeing it. So that's just something I'm saying.
There. Now, did she do you mind if we
ask away.
Did she have a history of issues with depression or anything like that?
No, not that I know of. In fact, quite the opposite, actually. People would go to her with their problems rather than the other way around. She basically never had any of those things that people associate with depression symptoms. She managed to get through so many things. She was a constant survivor. She beat cancer. She was beating lupus. She'd gone through happiness. She'd gone through pain. She'd been through divorce. She was a volunteer during 9/11. She was a volunteer during the Katrina crisis. She was always something, and just something ended up pushing the edge. Apparently, there was an actual scare before, like a few years ago. I think I kind of remember it now, but I might be creating my own false memory of she was in the hospital because she took too many sleeping pills. But because she was also a doctor, she had a PhD in a medical field, she said that it was just because she took too many sleeping pills. If she wanted to kill herself, she knew that she knows how to actually do it. And yeah, she did. But
that's very unfortunate.
Yeah.
Did she have a memorial service?
Yeah, I was there at the memorial service. I've got video and pictures here of things. A couple of friends from our Liberty group, our Ron Paul libertarian group, and sometimes 9/11 truther group, which I'm not part of, but she was. They were there with us, and I met friends of hers. I'd known her for 20 years, 30 years, met her mother, met her father, met all these people, and it was incredibly sad.
But, so you were her friend, and you did things socially throughout the years?
Yeah, I mean, we always had get-togethers, and she would be there, and she would always be that person, like the funniest person in the room. And
can I make a suggestion?
Go ahead.
That you file away but keep all your recent pictures and video of the memorial service,
yeah.
And you make time to go through your pictures of happier times and memories.
Okay.
With her.
All right.
Yeah. And I think it's good that you're talking about her and just, telling everybody about what happened, and, maybe other people can sympathize with you, and if they know someone in their own life who's having a tough time, maybe reach out to them, or who knows what kind of chain reaction could have to just talk about her, get her out there.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'm thinking in my own head, what could I have possibly done to keep her from doing this? And then I think to myself, other people said this at the memorial, that nothing that any of us could have done would have stopped her. She was type of person, when something got into her head, she was going to get it done. And she, if she decided she's going to, get a doctorate in a scientific field, she would go, and she did it. And if she was going to go down there and help flood victims, and she went and she did it, no matter how sick she possibly was. But, she was that person.
It's really tough because there's nothing you can do retroactively.
Right.
Like, I had a friend of mine and Megan's who killed himself earlier this year.
Mm.
And same situation, right?
Yeah.
You think about it and you're like, okay, what could I have done back then? And it's not really, there's no answer to that question. The only thing I try to tell myself is like, okay, well, what can I do now? So, I'd advise you to try to keep that in mind. What can you do currently to help people that you can help?
Yeah.
And to preserve her memory.
Yeah, one of her best friends, Lester, made this point when he was talking about her memory. He said that she was herself such an enormously outgoing person, and she set a standard for a type of life and living, and even a libertarian type of person, that everybody out there is challenged to try and live at least something like she did. Try and make the world a better place. Try and touch those people who are around you, the people that you don't know and who need to be lifted up or helped. And this is what she would do. And if you can do it, then you're honoring her memory.
It's a good point. And you got to keep in mind, it really highlights the sorrow highlights the fact that life is precious.
Yeah.
So, keep in mind how important the people that you have are, how much the people around you care about you. And
I'm sure she would have wanted you to continue on spreading the ideas of liberty, right?
Yeah, she definitely would.
Yeah. Well,
say something, Darian.
All right.
Long pause.
Yeah, I'm not really so good at talking in these kind of situations.
Yeah, but, there's no bombast for that one.
It's something it's very difficult. So, we're all here for you, and I hope everything
goes on the best I can.
I wish you'd have gotten to know her.
And yeah, sounds like she was a great person.
Yeah. So the only existence that she's got now is in all of us, everybody that she's ever talked to or spoken to. So you
are influenced.
Or influenced. Yeah. And you can talk to us and we'll give you a piece of her. So, and you might get to know some of her just a little bit.
Okay, so is there anything else we want to add to this segment? We're here on thinkingliberty.net with Mike and Stephanie of the Pork Therapy Podcast.
Porktherapy.com was the website?
Porktherapy.com.
Right. Porktherapy.com.
And you can download the episodes. Right. And actually, there's a widget. You can listen to it right on the site, as I recall.
Yeah. I remember when I looked up, I Googled pork therapy, and I got at least two websites for pork therapy. One of them was discontinued, but it was still like high up on the hit list. But so which one is it? It's definitely porktherapy.com.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We probably had an old podcast feed that could only hold so many episodes, and so we switched to our own hosting so we could put more of them on there.
That's right.
Cool.
And this is PORC, short for porcupine.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
That's because both of us have moved to New Hampshire as part of the Free State Project. And the Free State Project is, I'm pretty sure all of your listeners know about it unless they've been living under a rock. But we're big fans and we really enjoy living here. Both of us live in the kind of Grafton area, as we said before.
All right.
So you recommend that as a potential thing for people who are interested in liberty and not really sure what to do?
Oh, hell yeah, absolutely. I mean, just come for a visit, you know. You'll never want to leave.
It's true. You come for Pork Fest or you come for Liberty Forum, and you just don't want either of those events to end.
Yeah.
Those events are absolute fantastic times, but there's so many people in this, so many like-minded people here in New Hampshire, which is not a giant geographical area. You can come any time of year and just post on a forum like a week in advance or a day in advance that you're going to be here, and there will be parties and social events and activism ready for you.
Absolutely. Oh yeah, it's totally true. Very, very cool to see. I really like that feel in New Hampshire in general. I know I went to we were talking before about the Scholars Academy.
Oh yeah,
and I just emailed those people, and these people are in Hooksett, New Hampshire. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm some dude from the internet. I'm going to be in New Hampshire. Can I come see your school? And they're like, yeah, totally. We'll give you a tour. We'll talk to you. I was like, wow, the hospitality in all of New Hampshire is amazing with the Free State Project.
So you have a potential future career at the Scholars Academy.
Scholars Academy.
Yeah,
I liked it. It was very nice.
Yeah. So if you could get some, you know, real scientific experiment material for kids to do, like we're going to go outside and do this experiment.
We're going to play with mercury,
that's that's the way to do it, mercury.
Okay. It's like, all right, get some mercury, get a piece of paper, and get a hammer.
Let's play with fire, mercury, and liquid nitrogen.
It all depends on the age. You know, there's an age group that can play with fire, mercury, and liquid nitrogen.
They're 5 years old.
It just just tends to be older. It reminds me of there's a comic called Red Meat. There was one comic where he's talking about his life as a science teacher. And he's like, my favorite demonstration was when we used to take baby rabbits, dip them in liquid mercury, and then smash them on the desk. And there's just a blank screen. And then he goes, yeah, I don't work as a science teacher anymore.
Wow.
You know, I actually heard that from these guys that they said in their Boy Scout troop, when they were getting the Wilderness Survival Merit Badge, they had this... this guy who was very, very serious about it. And, you know, in Boy Scouts, there's like, you know, 13-year-old, you know, boys trying to, you know, get these merit badges. So at the thing, the guy, he has rabbits in cages. And as part of their wilderness survival merit badge, they have to actually kill the rabbit cut it apart and eat it.
Oh, and eat it?
And the guy was no longer in the, he was no longer their counselor after
that. Imagine that. Amazing how that works.
So now you know, keep it a secret.
All right. So with all this talk of rabbits and dangerous chemicals and fun chemicals, this is Thinking Liberty on the Lawn with Pork Therapy, another great podcast, porctherapy.com. This is thinkingliberty.net. Any final words before we head into the break?
No, I think we've said all we have to say.
I do want to say that I actually might have a vendor to sell rabbit meat at Grafton Gulch.
Jeez. Yeah, if you go to Grafton, seriously, go to Grafton Gulch. Also, if you go to Grafton and you stay there for more than 3 days, you will learn all the little unmarked roads that you can go 35 miles an hour on at tops. It's a really interesting experience because when I was in Grafton, it was kind of like, all right, I'm going to figure out how to get around here. So I'd like hop in the van. It was like, rumble, 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 rumble. 10 minutes later,
he's
I'm like,
rumbling
oh,
in a seat.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it's the town clerk's office. I kind of know where I am now, and I can get to Canaan. Or it's like, rumble, 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 boom, Grafton Gulch, rumble, 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 boom, Bardo. It was like, it was a very interesting experience in that respect that I had to learn all the roads.
Sounds like a very strange 1980s, 1990s RPG there.
It was really shady at night when I had to follow the roads back. I actually got invited to a bonfire, but I was so tired from building the shower at Agorist Acres that I just went to Canaan, got Chinese food, went back. I was driving down these roads, finally got back to Agorist Acres, and I just sat in my van. And I was like, I don't want to go to this bonfire. I just want to eat my Chinese food and go to sleep.
We're going to have to get a spray for those trees, like get a bright orange spray, like follow these in order to get this way.
that would help, yeah.
All right, so we're going to head into break. When we come back, we're going to talk to Masood about Students for Liberty. We're going to talk about some cooperative public transit going on, hopefully in Chicago. And maybe we're going to talk about some tech news and some bile news. So stick with us. ThinkingLiberty.net.
See, no sex talk today.
They're two crazy porks who host a show. They give relationship advice that you ought to know. Your thirst for entertainment, they will quench. Because Stephanie's a darling and Mike is a mensch. Pork therapy, advice this good is a rarity. It's cool, fun, and introspective. Relationship talk from a liberty perspective. Oh, and did I mention you can leave a message, you can voice a question.